My last case this morning is in re guardianship of Zabowski. You know, we have a pre-attorney's here this morning, and there's been a discussion about the division of time.
I'll go first, Your Honor. I'm hoping to be done by then.
Okay. Well, we'll give you 5 minutes on give her 5 minutes on the plan on that. Okay.
And please, the court, Brenda Hewen, Brenda Hewen Law, on behalf of the appellants in this case, Debbie Sadowski and Berner. This appeal pertains to the order that was issued on July 24, 2015, in the guardianship of Debbie Sadowski, as entered by Judge Bezos, as it relates to a request made by the biological mother of Debbie Sadowski to have visitation or parenting time with her daughter. As a result of that request, the court issued an order after evidence had been taken in the way of affidavits, and in that July 24th order set forth the parameters of how that visitation was to occur. It is unfortunately the position of Judge Sadowski, and it's one that's turned by the court as a municipal order because it delegates the authority with regard to the visitation arrangements to parties. We're not authorized to make those determinations.
So could they just delegate to the guardian
wouldn't have the argument because we'd be here on in-ray guardianship of energy. That would be the evidence. That's right. And what we have here is in this particular case, what the court did is essentially adopted the recommendation of a Mr. Troyer in a letter dated April 17, 2015, that was received in the evidence as exhibit number 14, almost verbatim. The only thing that the court did, which was different than the letter contained in the recommendation made by Mr. Troyer, was to quantify when the near future would be that the visitation would start. Whereas Mr. Troyer in his letter indicated that the visitation should take place between Amy and her mother in the near future, the judge indicated that near future meant 30 days. Other than that, if you look at that letter and the judge's order is almost verbatim in terms of what Mr. Troyer was recommending and what was adopted by the court on this order.
I'm concerned whether we have jurisdiction because I'm not sure this is the final appeal.
The court's already made that determination and made that condition in order to the effect that it found that it was a substantial right and therefore this was a final order. So that determination.
Isn't jurisdiction always an issue on the court? At any stage, notwithstanding the prior decision on these, and that was a motion for summary affirmance, like a sentence, or a summary dismissal.
Correct. And the court at that time found that it involved a substantial right, and therefore it constituted a final order. So, as far as my understanding, that's been determined. Can the issue of jurisdiction be raised at any time of the proceedings? Yes, it can.
What if a motion for the amendment then filed? Could be a reconsider the motion to amend and change
the law? I believe you could, because again, the law states in the grass say that the issue of jurisdiction can be raised at any time.
Can you just talk about that then? Why is this not a temporary care or visitation? Why is it that's not permanent?
Well, because it involves a substantial right. I mean, you get into the argument between temporary orders and final orders, whether they, there are those cases out there that deal with the issue. If it involves a substantial right, then it's a final order subject to appeal. If it doesn't involve a substantial right, then it's a interlocutory order that is not subject to appeal.
That's kind of crazy. Yes. Right. So how is it substantial in this case? Is there no indication of when that might be changed to be permanent?
Well, just in this particular case, the court determines that a mother or biological parent's rights to have parenting time or visitation with her daughter, even though that daughter may be an adult child, constitutes a substantial right.
Is there a Nebraska court decision that says that the mother and the daughter and child have a substantial right to visitation?
Not that I'm aware of, that instead talks about an adult child. There are cases out there that talk about minor children, but not adult children.
Those are in the juvenile court, in the juvenile setting. So it's certainly disgusting for that, it's not in this situation where you have an adult.
That's correct. In terms of being able to find a particular case in the state of Nebraska that deals with that issue. And I can tell you that as far as the issue that's before the court today. I did not spend a lot of time dealing with the issue of whether it's a final order or not a final order, not because of the determination that was made by the court previously that it constituted a substantial right, and therefore it was a final order subject to appeal, and that we could proceed on that issue. So my addressing the court today has more to do with the order itself and what we believe to be the fact that the order is not in compliance with the law, because it delegates an authority in terms of what parenting time that should be had between the mother and the adult child.
Let's assume that for argument purposes that we agree with you that it should be regarded as insurgents,
right,
based on the best interest of the best interest.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
So what standing did you have since you actually got what you wanted? You got the removed for visitation and got it.
We did, but the problem that we have is we have an order that is unenforceable, and that's the reason we had to come in on and challenge that order. Had the order said that the guardian has the authority to make that decision with input from whatever sources that the guardian feels are necessary, that would have been a proper order. But when you have an order out there that says, I'm leaving that discretion in the hands of these individuals, now, how do I go in, if there's a dispute over that order, how do I go in and enforce that order?
What if the order had just said, I leave it to the guardian to make the decision on visitation based on the best interest of the
order? Then what I would have is an order that if for some reason the guardian was doing something that I felt was not in the best interest of the order, or that was not enforced under the law for some reason, or contrary to the law for some reason, I could go in and challenge that and enforce and say, Judge, the guardian is not following the law. The guardian is not following the best interests of the ward. But in this particular case where you leave it in the hands of multiple individuals, now you've got an issue that you've got to deal with not only the guardian, but the decision-making and the process for all of these other individuals as well. And what if you have a difference of opinion? What if two people say, yes, she should have once a month, and you have two people that say, no, she should have once a year?
Wouldn't your only belief be to move to remove the guardian and then ask for your client to be reappointed as a guardian?
Well, isn't that what this case really only demanding case is all about, is that we're asking that exactly happen and that be done. Unfortunately, that case has been set, that has to be set back to the county court, because there was an issue of attorney's fees that didn't get resolved in the judge's order that was entered on the same day, July 3-4. And so that's what this case is all going to be about once there's no determination as to whether there's anything entitlement to attorney's fees, and then we have to actually come back up before the court.
So that takes me back to why is it a substantial right at this point? I mean, isn't it really going to be based on what happens in terms of whether she's successful on this?
Well, not necessarily. The court can still come back and say, for whatever reason, I don't believe that it's in the best interest of the ward for her to be appointed as the guardian and conservator of her daughter. But by the same token, that doesn't take away what rights she may have to have parenting with that child, even if that were the case, in terms of having visitation and having contact with her own daughter. And it's interesting to note that the reason this was brought about was the fact that the guardian had not allowed my client to have much contact with her daughter, and in fact has still not had much contact with her daughter, well, has not had any contact with her daughter since September of last year, because this issue of visitation is an issue on appeal, and the court felt that it could not enter any kind of visitation order during the pendency of appeal on a matter that was actually appealed.
It's an interesting issue, this idea that there is some legal right to have parenting time with the adult child. Wondering if I can impose that on my adult children. You know, I mean, is it because we have, an incapacitated person?
That's it. I mean, if you had a person who was not incapacitated, and they can make that determination for themselves, do I want to see my mother, do I not want to see my mother? But when you have a person that doesn't, has issues, and needs a guardian or conservator appointed for them, because they are not able to make those distinctions for themselves, that doesn't take away mom's rights or even a child's rights to have parenting time with that individual.
You kind of suggested carving out some sort of special additional rights for parents that may perhaps take the adult children to have.
Well, it doesn't even have to be an adult or an adult parent. It can be anybody. What if Amy wants the neighbor down the street to be able to have contact with that individual? And the guardian says, no, for whatever reason, I don't want that to occur. Well, is the purpose of the guardian and the conservatorship, isn't the purpose of that is to put as few limitations and for that individual to have as much money as they would normally have, but for the fact that they have a guardian and conservatorship?
But based on the best intention.
Always, always. That's the standard. If there was some reason why the neighbor would not be appropriate, they could come in and present that, and then the court would have to make that determination.
So is there evidence in this record that he was the instigator of trying to get this parent housing or not?
Well, if you recall in the affidavit that was received, I believe it was exhibit number 13, where Amy testified, well, excuse me, was Debbie Sanowski testified that her daughter had indicated that not having contact with her mother was causing her very much stress and anxiety.
And that's just one of the questions, because I couldn't tell them from the record. What standing was she murdered out of her child?
In as far as the standing that she has as the fact that she made the application to the co-guardian and co-conservator in this case. Based upon the fact that she had a friend relationship and she was willing to undertake those duties and responsibilities.
Not.
She's not a family, not a familial relationship, but a friend relationship.
Thank you.
How far did we take them over?
15 seconds. May it please the court, counsel, my name is John Walker, and I'm Sandu Morgan. Here today on behalf of the NAPLE regarding the violence. I want to start. We have a kind of natural split that the counsel for the guardian and I have agreed to. I'm going to address the jurisdictional issues when we use visitation or case regarding. I want to start with the motion for summary dismissal in the order on that motion. The way I read the order, it doesn't say this is a dismissal or this is a denial of motion of prejudice. It doesn't say that we are specifically finding there to be jurisdiction or that we're finding there's not jurisdiction. It's just a dismissal. So I think it is an issue that's properly discussed today. Before I get, I guess, to the meat of that, I do want to discuss a little bit of background because I think that's important. Both on the jurisdictional issue and on the order of litigation. The appellant here was previously the guardian of a protected person. She was removed for cause in 2011 after Adult Protective Services got involved. APS got involved because Amy, who was living on her own at the time, was screaming for hours on end in her apartment. A very sad situation. This happened while the appellant was the guardian. EMTs arrived and find Amy to be in a disheveled state. She's malnourished. She hasn't had psychiatric care for 2 years. Based on that, a filed a petition for review of accomplice guardian, and that was ultimate narrative. So I think we need to keep that in mind when we're talking about whether the appellant, mother of the protected person, who is adult, the protected person, has a substantial right to visit her daughter. There's really only two Nebraska cases that I think discuss this. One is in Ray Sophia M, and the other is the concurring opinion in Ray Benjamin.
That's Justice Stevens.
Exactly. And Justice Stevens says, well, when there's a conflict, when there's some tension between the desire or the wish of the parent to have that ability to control the health and the care and the treatment of their adult child who's a protected person. If there's a tension between that desire and the right that the adult child has in being an independent person and self-sufficiency and being a protected member of society, Judge Stephan says, and quotes an Alaska case, really the only other case that is out there. The tension is resolved in favor of the protected person. So this isn't a case, and I agree with Mr. Kim, if this was, if Amy was not an infected person, she could say, I do not want to see them. And that would be the end. So when you look at Ingrid Benjamin, and you look at there's really a two-part test.
It's really the guardian's call, right? I mean, it shouldn't be the guardian's call to determine what is in the best interest of the guardian's
I agree, Your Honor. I guess I would add a caveat that it probably makes sense to listen to the treatment team. And that's another factor to consider here on the jurisdictional issue. There's really no dispute from the street maintenance, from the guardian, support staff that aims home.
It seemed to me Judge Basis was trying to split the duties here, trying to make everybody happy when we have a, certainly it seemed to me trying harder to come up with something that's reasonable, taking into everybody's position and interest. But having said that, again, based on our guardianship statute, bottom line, guardians, decisions. Whether who to consult with, who to talk to, it's the guardian's decision, what is in the best interest of
work. I don't have any major disagreement with that, and I think Judge Bezos does state that in her order, in his visitation order. She says, per Nebraska law, the guardian has to call. So, I don't know.
You finish what you were saying, there was no dispute about the treatment of children that.
Just, we have situations where, and this was really a big part of the basis for the prior petitions to remove appellant. We have a situation where appellant comes and visits Amy, and it doesn't go well. It's a one step forward, two steps back. We see regression in Amy's condition. There's mutual codependency issues where really. The appellant was enabling some of the obsessive compulsive tendencies of Amy. So that's really the reason why there's a pretty unified voice on what is appropriate for visitation purposes. I see I'm almost out of my time. Just on a jurisdictional issue again, there's really no Nebraska case law that says there is a substantial right of a parent to visit an adult protected person. I think we can limit the holding in this case on these specific facts to say in this case there is no substantial right and therefore there is no jurisdiction. Thank you.
Is it McBC? Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is Barb Franks. I represent the Court of Appointed Successor Guardians in this matter, Suzanne Gutz. I wanted to touch a little bit on the final order piece as well. I think that the court raised an excellent point as to there's two opponents here. One is your brother. She is not related, and I think that is certainly relevant. We're going to get a substantial right, and that takes out whether there's any substantial right. June Berger is finding the question in this matter. So I just wanted to raise that issue. The other thing I would like to address in terms of the jurisdictional piece is the aggrieved party aspect, which I addressed in my brief. I think it's important here, as the court noted, the order was granted, the visitation was given. And I understand Mr. Kuhn's argument that it's vague and there's a lot of parties that are participating in that decision. But I think that comes into the guardian's argument to make. If the legal guardian feels like her rights are infringed upon, she cannot make this decision because the court has said you have to ask the therapist and you have to ask the psychiatrist. I think that would be the legal guardian's argument to make.
Did she make that argument to Judge Bezos?
No, and in fact, the recommendation that those parties have input on the decision, that came from evidence that was offered by the legal guardian and the guardian of Ida in the final hearing of the therapist. It's the legal guardian who is asking for input from the treatment team to help her make this decision because she's not related. She's court appointed by the guardian. She's an attorney. She doesn't want to make this decision on her own. She's not emotionally involved. She's just trying to advocate for the best interest of the ward as recommended by the treatment team. So, to the extent that it is an infringement on the rights of who makes the decision, that would be the legal guardian's argument to make. She's not appealing that decision. There is a cross appeal because, to the extent that it is a final order, she doesn't think that her visitation should be granted. And I understand in Collins 3, they basically say that within 30 days, it's supported by the affidavit of the therapist that says in the near future. I don't agree with that argument. While I agree with, if someone said 30 days, I would say, yes, that's in the near future. However, it's not just based on time. The recommendations by the therapist are there are issues that Ms. Sadowski needs to address. for board visitation would be appropriate for Amy. This is not because Amy is going to display behaviors. Everybody agrees she will display behaviors. This is because Ms. Sadowski has behaviors. She has codependent behaviors that are detrimental to Anna. And so that is to the extent we raise a cross appeal, we did that only for the purposes of if this court were to determine it as a final order. The guardian did not file an appeal initially. We didn't believe it was a final order. We don't think there is a substantial right, and we don't think that they're in a great party. However, the court wants to say that this is the final order. If they want to create substantial rights in parents and adults, which I don't think exist, and I think that's specifically because the protected person, everything has to be surrounded by best interest. And if you create a substantial right in a parent that overrides their best interest, I think it muddles the water. I just don't think when you get into an adulthood, a substantial right that comes from the preference doctrine is reflected in our priority statute. That's why you have priority, because you have a family relationship. And we're not talking about priority when we're talking about visitation. We're purely discussing destiny. And so I would point the court, in the event you find that this is a final order, I would point the court to page 2 of the court's order. It's found in transcript 2. It's a very long paragraph. It's kind of found in the context of whether or not a certain paragraph should be admitted as evidence. But I think the court lays out very clearly in the affidavit that was offered by Ms. Sadowski to support visitation. She makes statements that the court specifically finds are relevant, not whether there should be visitation, but whether there should not be visitation. And she states very long that in that affidavit, Ms. Sadowski is making the very statements that caused her to be removed as a right. She's showing that because Amy doesn't want to do things, we should give in to those desires. And as the therapists say, that's getting into the very excessive compulsive that is her disability. And so I would just encourage the court to read that paragraph, because I think that really sums it up, in that Ms. Sadowski is acting out of emotion and not out of what is actually in the best interest of me.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal?
He is over.
Thank you all for being here. We have the case under advisement for both submitted, and you are excused, or we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you. By the way,
I'm sorry, it was on the road.